At this time, we'll come to the reading of God's Word that we're going to spend our time in this afternoon. And on the other the page over in the service bulletin, you'll find Isaiah 55 written out. We'll read the whole chapter. And the first few verses there in bold is where we'll be focused on in listening, thinking, meditating upon God's Word and hearing Him speak to us this afternoon. Let's read Isaiah 55. I want you to hear, and we're going to talk about this in the sermon, is the word of the call of Christ, the invitation of Christ, and the need that He speaks. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Before we hear God's word preached, let's ask him to bless our hearing of it. O Lord, we thank you that you have spoken to us in the reading of your word. We even have heard a promise that your word will not return to you empty, but it will accomplish the purpose for which you send it. And so accomplish the purpose of salvation this afternoon, of forgiving sinful hearts, of growing hearts of faith, and we pray that you would do this mighty work, that we would, as you draw near to us, that we would seek you, the Lord, while you are near, and that we would forsake our sin. So hear us, and we pray provide salvation that we need, and bless and equip me to proclaim a faithful word that is your word and your truth and not my own. In Christ we pray, amen. Well, are you hungry this afternoon? Maybe that's not a good question to ask at 4:45 on an afternoon. Perhaps not that long ago, just an hour or two ago or three, you had something to eat, but now you're starting to feel hungry again. And let me ask you, are you thirsty this afternoon? Maybe you grabbed a bottle of water or a glass of water on the way here, yet you know under this hot August sun, you're going to need that water, and you're going to need some more later, and you're going to need to keep drinking. Having one drink, one bottle of water, is not going to be enough. You're going to need more. Boys and girls, you know that. You get hungry so quickly, and you always need another snack, and you're always looking for something more in the cupboard, and you're thirsty because you're busy playing, and you need something to quench your thirst. We know this is what our body needs. And we provide, we seek the food or the drink, and and we need those things. But let me ask you, what about feeding your soul? God has not made us just bodies, just flesh and bones, but he's given us a soul as well. What are you feeding your soul? What are you giving to your soul, and is it actually satisfying? Does it fill the hunger that you have? Does it quench the thirst that we all will have in our souls? Now, when I talk about the needs of our soul, that spiritual aspect of us, that spiritual part of us, there's some of you that know exactly what I'm talking about, that don't really need me much to unpack, because there's this nagging sense in you of a dissatisfaction, a need that perhaps you haven't quite found what will supply that need. Or there's this reality that you well know that as much as some things can bring you joy, yet that joy cannot be sustained. You'll need something else to fill the void. Something else will need to come in its place again. You'll need more. And even as you may be getting older and life is getting slower and your other needs, new needs are coming to the foreground, you're starting to think about your life, and perhaps you're thinking, what does this all matter? What does this all mean? What have I accomplished in 50, 60, 70 years, and where is it going? And part of the nagging of the soul and the need is the fact that you and I have been made by God. We're made in God's image. We're made with a knowledge of God. You may not acknowledge that you need God or want to acknowledge that, but the reality is you have been made by him, and you have some knowledge, even if you can't explain it or write a paper about it or put out a book. Yet there's this nagging need in the soul that nothing in this life will satisfy. You need something from outside of this world. Now, some of you have grown comfortable. You've gotten comfortable just ignoring that nagging sense in the soul. You've suppressed it enough over the years, and you've given yourself this false comfort that you're just like everybody else. Well, everybody feels this way. Everybody's looking for something. Everybody. And we're all looking for that magic device or thing you can get that will finally give true, lasting happiness. Well, let me cut to the chase this afternoon. The dissatisfaction that you and I experience in our soul is because we have been estranged from God. Our relationship with our Creator has been broken because we have sinned. We're dissatisfied with what He has given us in making us, and we wanted something more. And in searching and seeking and trying to find something else, we've tried to replace Him. And in the meantime, we've broken that relationship with him. We've separated ourselves from God and from the very purpose of the life he has given us, that is to glorify him and to enjoy him forever, because our sin, our going against him, has broken that relationship. That's not my word to you. That's God's word to you, your Creator's word to you. See, because God is holy. God is completely another being. He is so perfect and pure and without anything that's sinful. But we've become sinners. We've sinned against him. We've taken actions that are evil, that are wicked, that are wrong. We've spoken words of anger and bitterness and malice. We have, even in our thoughts, even if on the outside you look pretty good and no one would be any the wiser, yet the thoughts you've harbored have been filled with evil things, that which God says is wrong. And no matter how much stuff you accumulate, no matter how wealthy you are in retirement or how wealthy you think you're going to be with your new career as a young person, it's not going to help you. You can't fill that void. There isn't enough stuff to do it. But there's hope. This is the end of the story. This is not the end. There's more. God gives us hope. There's hope. Hope in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, whom God the Father has sent into the world to provide a way back to God. God, who the ones who we sinned against, has actually, in mercy, given us a way back to himself, back to that satisfaction of living in him and for him again. But we cannot have that satisfaction for the soul. You cannot have that sustained life now and forever unless you take the way God himself has provided. Only when we follow his way through Christ to repentance and salvation can we live that purpose that he's given for us. And what we hear this afternoon in Isaiah, and we have the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, many years before Christ came, but he preaches a message that is basically the words of Christ, the call of this Savior Jesus to you and to me to come and to receive what we need to be right with God, to have our sin put away. So what you hear, what you should think of this afternoon in this language is this is Jesus calling you. Jesus speaking to you, using beautiful and relatable imagery to show us our need and to promise us satisfaction. So give attention. Even if you're not convinced that this is needed, even if you're not convinced that any of this is true, give 15 minutes of your attention to hear this word, God's message for you, for faith, needing faith in Jesus Christ, and God's message for you who have believed in Christ, but whose eyes are too quickly and too easily taken off of Jesus and focused on still trying to find solutions for your greatest problems in this life when God is the one you ultimately need. And so may God, this is our hope, this is my hope in preaching, that God would open your eyes, show your need, and give each one of us the satisfaction in the soul that we need. And so, come near and listen carefully to Jesus Christ, because he alone can provide the food and the drink that you really need. Come near and listen carefully to Jesus Christ, because he alone can provide the food and drink you need. And we're going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3. What is offered, what you need, and what Jesus Christ promises. What is offered, what you need, and what Jesus Christ promises. First, verse 1. There's that little word. We don't use this word necessarily, but we use words like it. Little word, ho. It's an attention grabber. Hey, pay attention. Listen to what I have to say to you. This is important. This is important. And it jumps right in. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Using this very relatable. You imagine the original audience in the ancient Near East, in the Middle East, where, you know, we think it's warm today, but I mean, man, if we think we know thirst, I'm sure they know what thirst is all about even more than we do. And you imagine how this would grab them. They know what it is to be thirsty. We know what it is to be thirsty. And the call is to come. Not just those who are physically thirsty and needing some water for your mouth, but those who recognize there's a need in my soul that needs to be satisfied. I need to be right with God. And you may not be able, again, to put it all out in detail. You may not be able to describe it exactly what you think that need is. But you know there's something you need and you haven't found. And I'm here to tell you that in Jesus Christ, that is where your needs, your deepest needs, will be satisfied. The call is for you if you're thirsty this afternoon. Come. But it's even if you're still skeptical of this, continue to listen to what is being offered and the need that's going to be emphasized. We're called to come where? Come to the waters. Come to the provision. Come to the one who will give you what you need for your soul. Jesus was at a well once in the region of Samaria, it's a ways north of Jerusalem. And he sat down, and at 12 noon in the hottest time of the day, a lady came by to get water, and she was a pariah in the neighborhood. She was an outcast in the neighborhood because that's why she came at noon, because everyone else came when it was cooler in the day. Everyone else came when it was shady and early in the morning. But she came at noon, and Jesus is there, and he shocked her because he started to talk to her. And he offered her living water. He said, I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again. And she thought, wow, I'm going to be the first person in the world to have indoor plumbing. I'm not going to have to come to the well and get any more water anymore. This sounds fantastic, Jesus. How can they do such a thing? But Jesus wasn't speaking to her of her needing to come so she'd have some water for to drink and to wash and to bake. He was speaking to her of her needs in her soul, and lovingly and with great wisdom, he unpacked her need, showed her her need, exposed the very reasons why she had been a pariah in her community all along, why she was outcast, her sin, and promising her, he said to her, Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. She believed on the Lord Jesus. She received what he offered. She still had to go every day to get water for her physical need, but now her spiritual need is being satisfied by Jesus Christ. You can find in the Gospel of John, little Gospels of John on the side, go open to chapter 4, and you'll read this account and Jesus' grace to this woman in Samaria. He says, come to the waters, you who thirst, come to the waters. But then there's another time it's stated again, and it's a call again, come, buy and eat. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Now the emphasis is on the freeness of it, that it's offered to you freely, that you don't need to come with your money and all what you've accumulated, that you don't need to come with your good works and how many things you've done. You just simply come to Jesus, come to God, come and experience God's grace. That's grace. That's riches. That's freely given. It's not earned, it's given, or it wouldn't be grace. And then again, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now the emphasis is on the richness of it. Wine and milk were a rich commodity in those days. Wine and milk are still a rich commodity in our day. But God is a rich giver. He is full of richness. What God offers you in Jesus Christ is not stingy, but God in fact offers you himself. God offers to give you life with him. God offers to give you everything you'll ever need because you have him. To serve God, to be able to serve God is the richest way to live. And no, I'm not like so many false teachers who peddle stuff and say if you serve God, then your car will get an upgrade and your house will get bigger and your health will be perfect. That's more stuff that doesn't provide lasting satisfaction. That appeals to a need in the soul, but it can't satisfy the need. But so to serve God in the richest way is to mean that you actually get to live out your purpose for why you've been made. We search all over. Everybody searches, why am I here? What's my great and grand purpose in life? And God says your purpose is to serve him who made you, and that to live out your purpose, you will find no richer life than a life where you live out your purpose for living. And God has given you your purpose. And no matter how old you are, how long you've lived, if you have known of Jesus Christ, you can begin life today living out your purpose, serving God in whatever your vocation is, and whatever you do with your day, to be able to serve God. And again, it's without money and without price. Now, it's free. It's free for you, but it's not without cost. It's not without cost. The reality is that the cost is great. The cost is greater than anything that you and I could ever afford. We can't purchase it. As sinners, we have no right to purchase it. But it's God who paid the price. God who bore the cost. God who did what he did so you could be receiving what he offers freely. Because, you know, we talked already about sin separating you from God. Sin is what distances us from God, and it ruins us, and it leads to an eternal separation from God if we do not come to God through Christ. For you to come to God, you can't remain a sinner. You can't remain trusting in your sin. You need to have that sin removed. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why God sent him. And that's why he came, because he came to substitute himself for you. God is a holy and a just God. There's a penalty for your sin. But Jesus came to offer himself as a substitute for all who would believe on his name. This is why the cross is so important in the Christian faith. This is why the cross is so central to the Christian faith. Because without the cross, there's no payment for sin. With no payment for sin, there's no reconciliation with God. There's no true life to be given. But it's because Jesus died on the cross to pay for the penalty for the sins of his people. Not just physical death, but he suffered spiritually. He endured the pains of hell so that God could remain both just, that's very good. We want to need a just God. but also so that that same God could receive sinners back into his family. And that's amazing grace. At the highest cost, the cost of his own son, Jesus Christ God has sent his son, and Christ has paid for the sins of his people. And Christ says, he won the victory. He died, but he conquered sin, and he conquered death. So on the third day, he rose again in victory, demonstrating that the penalty was crushed and paid for, that his sacrifice had been accepted, and he can offer life. He who is living now again offers life to all who would receive him. He offers true life, real life, rich life in himself. In Christ, you find life instead of death, holiness instead of sin, fullness instead of emptiness. Come, Jesus says, come near and listen carefully to me, because I alone could provide the food and drink you really need. That's the offer of Jesus Christ. But what is he offering to deal with? And perhaps you're still skeptical of your need. I mean, if you don't think you need Jesus, then you're not going to come and receive his offer. If you think you're fine on your own. But verse 2 exposes our need. It shows our need. And so it's a question that you need to ponder. And I pray by the Spirit you do ponder this question and find where you are. Have you come to Jesus or not? But the question in verse 2 is this: why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? You've worked hard. You've put in a hard week of work, or you're at the end of your career. You look back. You worked hard to earn what you have, to fill the bank account and build the house and do everything else. But what have you spent that money on that is going to last forever? That's going to last beyond a few years or decades? What are you going to take with you when you die? Have you spent it on what is lasting? You can drink in the pleasures of this life. You can buy a new phone and you can buy a new house. You can gain a new friend and you can plan a wonderful vacation. And there's in and of itself, those things aren't wrong. That's not a wrong thing to do, and it's not a bad thing. It's not a sinful thing. But none of those things are going to satisfy your soul ultimately. The ads that you watch, they promise you, just drink this and you'll be full. Eat this and you'll be satisfied. And yet they want to suck you in because they want you to buy it the first time, knowing that if you bought it the first time, you'll probably come back the second time. Why do you have to come back the second time? Because it doesn't actually satisfy you, does it? You're going to buy more of that drink. You're going to eat more of that food. That's how advertising works. And even as you take medicine for some one condition, another condition comes up, or side effects affect you. And again, is it wrong to take medicine? Is it wrong to go enjoy a meal? No, it's not. But if your ultimate hope is in those things, then you're seeking from it what it cannot give you. If billionaires in our world cannot buy satisfaction, you cannot buy satisfaction. You will not be the one person who finally discovers the secret to happiness in something that you purchased or acquired in this life that satisfies only the body, or tries to. But God offers something much better. And you and I grasp. We grasp at things. We break the Ten Commandments of God, the moral law of God, to grasp. We cheat, lie, we steal. We seek sex and riches and defraud and whatever it is to try to gain some satisfaction. All in us, it's all around us. Even if you're too old to even pursue those things any longer, yet your heart still grasps at them, and perhaps you're living in a bit of bitterness that you never were able to acquire all that you wanted to acquire. But God gives you a better way. Maybe your hope and your satisfaction has been in your religious activity, your consistency, going to church, your prayers that you've prayed since you were a child, or all the activities that can come. You think you're going to earn God's favor and he's going to have to give you something good. That's not what faith in Christ is about. Or perhaps you've decided that it's never satisfied you, this religious stuff, so I'm just going to reject it, to throw it out and leave off. Or maybe I'll do something here and there, but that's about it. But Did rejecting fill you up? Did that help you? Did that address the need of the soul? See, the satisfaction that you'll find for the soul is not in what you do. It's in coming to Jesus Christ. It's in receiving from Him what only He can provide. What is the call then? Listen carefully to me. Don't listen to the siren song of the world that's trying to pull you to the rocks, pull you to destroy you and shipwreck your life. But listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Eat what is good. That's what Jesus said to the crowds as they crowded around him. And he says to them, calling them to look for something more, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Boys and girls, if you had ice cream for breakfast tomorrow, and then you had ice cream for lunch, and you had ice cream for supper, and in between you had lots of potato chips for snacks, you are not going to be satisfied. You might think you'll be satisfied, but no, you'll be sick as anything. Your stomach will be hurting. You cannot find satisfaction in the junk food that you can get. Perhaps you're on a strict diet. The doctors put you on a strict diet. Or you're self-controlled and you limit what you're eating. And on top of that, you're getting all sorts of exercise. You're caring for your body. Let me ask you, do you treat your body better than you treat your soul? Are you taking care of the outward man, but the inward man you're filling with all kinds of junk and what you read and watch and think and the conversations you have? Jesus says, come to me for the richest of foods. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Contrary to popular opinion, or what you might think in your own heart, the life of following Jesus Christ is not a drag, it's not a downer, but it's the abundant life, because we're filled, as God says, with abundant delight in what He provides for us as we seek it from Him. Sunday worship, coming to the Lord's house, is not a burden when you realize this is the opportunity to come into the presence of Almighty God, where God is doing mighty works in us and through us. This is our great delight. Perhaps good sounds boring, but let me tell you, if living good before God is boring, then you've never experienced it. God promises you to come and let your soul delight itself in abundance. What was the last thing your soul delighted in? Do you really? Let me ask you this, and you can answer this in your own heart. Do you really delight in sin? Do you really enjoy the constant chase of the next thing you need to try to feel good? Is it really the life that you delight in? Well, God says, Jesus says, come to me, seek me, and receive true delight as you receive true life. Come, then. Come near and listen carefully to Jesus Christ, because He alone can provide the food and drink you really need. He's made the offer. The need's been exposed. Now finally hear the promise of Christ. Hear the promise of Christ. One more time in verse 3 He says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. He says, come, believe, and live forever. A covenant is a relationship. It's a relationship with God that we broke, that God is reestablishing in Jesus. He's saying, here's a relationship I'm offering you with myself forever and ever. It won't end. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I will be with you forever. That is that relationship where God says to you, I will be your God. I will make you one of my family, and I will live with you forever, and you will come to heaven to dwell with me. That's the new relationship we need. That's what the Bible from cover to cover teaches. Well, who is this David, the sure mercies of David? Well, David was an ancient king in the line of Jesus Christ, from whom Christ came. And God had promised him a son who would sit on his throne and reign forever and ever. Jesus is that son. Jesus is the king who reigns. He's the one, he's the Savior who reigns, who offers salvation. It's in Jesus that God makes his promises. It's in Jesus that God fulfills his word. It's because of Jesus Christ's work that God does not give you an empty promise, but it is real, true, forever. Do you want this relationship? Do you want your sin and your guilt put away? Do you want your nagging, that nagging sense of needing more, to be satisfied now, forever? Then come near. Listen carefully to Jesus Christ, because he alone can provide the food and drink that you really need. Friends, you've heard the call. Believe, and your soul shall live. Full, satisfied in the God who made you, the God who saves you. There will be struggles in life. There will still be temptations to go back to the old ways. There will be needs in our life that we'll be tempted to go find all ways except God to satisfy. But in him, we have that constant, steady source of life and full life. By the power of God, by the power of God this afternoon, may we all know this satisfaction of life that God himself offers each one of us, each of you, in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord our God, thank you for this word that you have given to us. We thank you that we can receive this word, that we have the freedom even to gather together to hear this word this afternoon. We thank you for this great message of hope in what you offer us in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord our God, deal with our hearts so that we would not suppress this truth, not try to ignore this truth, but that we will seek from you what you offer and what you alone can provide and what alone will satisfy. Oh Lord our God, each one of us needs to know this Savior. We pray that all would know him today, that we would go no further by ourselves or trusting ourselves or trying just one other way first before we come to Jesus. But we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Even for those, Lord, who have believed on Jesus Christ, who are struggling in their faith, we pray that Lord, we know our faith may falter. Our weaknesses still remain. But we pray that you would sustain each one, O Lord, and renew faith and strengthen faith in you. Lord, we pray for our community, and we thank you for those with whom we can gather, new friends and old friends and acquaintances, neighbors. And we thank you, God, that for every soul that lives around us, there are many unsatisfied hearts in our community, for they have not yet found Jesus Christ, or having found him, are not yet resting in him as they should, still trying to carry on through life on their own. Oh, Lord God, come to them in power, we pray. May we as Christians be loving our neighbors. Make us, as we pray, Lord, continually make us a church, not only that happens to have a spot in this community, that we just don't own this land, but that we would be a church for the community, serving with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that we who are privileged to have the word of God would preach and minister the word of God, honoring you and loving our neighbors. We pray that the message this afternoon will be repeated many times over to our neighbors, hearing it and having it told to them. Help us, Lord, we pray, to speak as a voice of truth into the chaos and the confusion of our age, in which every man does what is right in his own eyes. Open our mouths that we would speak and represent our Savior well. Lord, we pray that this would be true for our other leaders in society, that our hope together as a people would be in Jesus Christ, who is King over all. We pray for that in church, in churches in our community, all over. We pray for that to be true in our civil governments and among our civil leaders. We thank you for them, for those whom you have placed over us under the authority of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our families, for mothers and fathers, for families of various shapes and sizes even represented here. And we pray for your grace there. And we pray, Lord, that in our workplaces too, that we would be a witness for Christ, that there would be godly conduct. Make us each faithful in the place you've put us, that we would serve well and faithful to Jesus. For it is from King Jesus that we are sent forth and called in the places you call us. We pray, Lord, that you would increase our prayers then for our community in all its ways and all the various levels of government and beyond. Fill our homes and our churches and our whole land, we pray, with peace and joy and hope and love through a turning back to the Lord and a putting away of sin. But that is the only place to find true hope and satisfaction, in him alone. We know, Lord, that Jesus Christ will remain forever. We pray then you'd fill our churches with faithful worshipers in spirit and in truth, that those also draw many to come and seek and find there the words of life. So bless us now, we pray, as we conclude this worship service by singing your praise. as you speak your word of blessing upon us. Help us to enable us to receive them, receive that word of blessing by faith. And as we go home again, we pray, Lord, that we would desire to come again to worship you again and again, Sunday after Sunday, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. That it would not be a drag, or we not imagine it to be, but that we would want to know that delight each time we come into your presence. And Lord, in all this we pray to the praise and the honor and the glory of your great name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.